Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio Music Fair from One Republic, and it's called Counting Stars. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jay Fuller in the Live 95 studio. Climbed out of my ark long enough just to do the show here. The show being Sports Talk Live, something that we do for now every Tuesday and Thursday. But now that football season is about to wind down, I think we're going to cut it on back to maybe one day a week. We enjoy doing the show, and special thanks to People's Bank, who makes the show possible, as well as other unnamed sponsors, because we haven't heard from you yet. So to get in touch with us to support here at Live 95, the sports program, the upcoming Christmas music, or any other number of things, send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com or find us on Facebook at Live 95. Your hosts for Sports Talk Live, they've already been acting like little children. It's Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Welcome, everyone, to the post-edition. Bow post-edition.
That's
right. Soggy post-edition.
Some folks are on a high, and some folks are in a depressed state.
Apparently, they put way too much water on that Auburn field. Well, never mind.
Hey, it's a home field. You take any advantage you can. I don't know whether they did or not. But
no,
I'm just going to go ahead and give my 2 cents and shut up, which is my job. I thought Auburn played really well and kept it much closer than I ever thought.
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
It was a good football game.
Too close, really. So
yeah.
If Alabama was going to win, I wanted them to take care of business, and Henry done so.
Late, though.
Yeah, very late. Very late.
Make you sweat, won't it?
As we said, one more play, and it would have been a take a knee and exit the stadium.
That's right. Jason, was there anything about the game that surprised you? Anything at all?
Good or bad?
Good or bad?
Really, the fashion in which Auburn run the ball on Alabama surprised me.
I agree with that, especially early.
Yeah, right up the gut. No secret about where the ball's going.
No, nothing
no magician
fancy.
In the backfield. Just hand the ball off and grind it out for 3-4 yards.
Yeah, I thought they did. First quarter, I think they had Bama on their heels most of the first quarter defensively.
And Auburn played better defensively than I expected them to.
Maybe the better game they played all year.
Oh, yeah. I think they played like that all year, Auburn's sitting here at 10-2 right now.
You think so?
LSU beats them and Alabama beats them, but I don't think the other games.
They're going to be
the other
in games.
Were winnable anyway.
Yeah.
But congratulations to the Alabama fans. Congratulations, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Not a shocking win. I owe you 4 states now. Auburn came up short of the 20 points, but actually scored more than I thought they would.
I agree. They scored more than I didn't really think they'd score 13, but, had a touchdown there and a couple of field goals. When that touchdown happened, Jason, I thought, oh, surely this is not going to be – it's not going to end up like when Auburn beat Georgia 2 years ago, or was it last year?
Two years ago. Not a lot bright about last year. So. Boy, Ronnie, a lot to talk about as far as the Iron Bowl and some controversy surrounding the Iron Bowl and field conditions that some Alabama fans are hollering about. Why, I don't know. They did win the game after
Absolutely.
All.
Absolutely.
Then the coaching carousel is in full swing.
Absolutely.
Who's going to go where?
Goes around and around, doesn't
it? From
if you want a head coaching job and you're a decent assistant coach at all or have done a decent job as a head coach and you want to move somewhere else, now's the opportunity because it's kind of fruit basket turnover.
And from what is being told on some of the other networks, Mark Richt's phone is probably about to melt because I think half the teams that are out of a coach are contacting Mark Richt.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I'd love to have Mark Richt as my head coach.
A first-class individual, winning, 72-73% of his games.
Average I think 9.3 wins per year over 15 years.
That's not
Come
shabby.
On.
Yeah. As Nick Saban said, and I hate to agree with Nick Saban.
You're talking about his press conference? Yeah, go ahead.
What state is that profession getting to be in when you win 9-10 games and
That's
can't
right.
keep your job?
Well, and then he went on to say, what are y'all going to do to me when we lose 3 games?
Right, and it would happen if Alabama gets on a skid, and some people are already saying, no, it would never happen. Yes, it would. Right. Alabama gets on a skid where they lose three or four years. You better bet
they're going to be howling.
Right.
Because it has nothing to do with what have you done in the past.
Right.
It's what are you doing right now.
Look at Joe Pop at Penn State. Of course, the other
circumstances
things,
were.
But people already screaming for his resignation. And it should have been way earlier for Joe Pop than what it was. But the age kind of got him. But the same thing would be with Saban. He loses a few games. And hey, it's adios.
Absolutely, you know they're going to be people howling. And then look, they're all, you know, there's Alabama fans that are howling if they lose a game,
right? Ronnie,
not actually, a series of games.
I've actually heard a nutcase or two this season after the Ole Miss game, saying it was time for Saban to leave.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's just absurd. But you know, he has created such a. And I hate to use the word because he has created such a dynasty, a college football dynasty in Tuscaloosa that probably has never occurred before and may never happen again until people are so blasted spoiled that they feel that just because you're a University of Alabama fan, you're entitled to win 10, 11, 12 games a year and compete for national championships every year. Now, and that's all well, good, and wonderful, and give him credit. He's been able to do that for the most part. I mean, it's phenomenal to me that since 2009, at some point in time in every season following that season, they have been ranked number one. At some point in time during the season, not the whole year, but at some point in time. I mean, that's just about as impressive as it can be. And whether you like him, whether you dislike him, whether you know you like Alabama, don't like him, you have to respect the facts. If you sit down and just look at the numbers, it is truly impressive.
Oh, yeah. And I know some might disagree with this, but my thought is, Ronnie, when Saban goes to Alabama, you've got the perfect storm. You've got a great coach at a university that's going to spend whatever. And get
doesn't
whatever
matter.
To make their football team the number one football team in the nation. And put Nick Saban at another university, he don't get these same results. I mean, look at his past.
You don't think he'll be as good?
No.
He won a national championship at LSU.
Oh, yeah. Gus won one at – I mean, Chizik won one at Auburn. But you see where Chizik
said. Okay, let me play devil's advocate. Nick Saban leaves Alabama. Nick Saban goes to Auburn. Does Nick Saban do at Auburn what he did at Alabama?
No. He would be.
Does he win a national championship?
Yeah, he would probably win a national championship.
Yeah,
but he's not going to have the success at Auburn that he has at Alabama. He's not going to have it at Tennessee.
Why?
History, the staff, the powers to be, being willing to put forth the money to do whatever to be number one. And some people are going to go to Alabama just because it's Alabama and the tradition
of
Alabama football.
That's true.
And if you look in the NFL, good reason.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys earning a hefty paycheck that went to University of Alabama. However, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that are from Auburn, from Georgia. I'm talking basically SEC altogether. And we looked that stat up.
Yeah, you had
one time
numbers.
We had the numbers. It was like seemed like a third of the players in the NFL were out of the SEC.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, now that Rick's gone, but Georgia, I can't remember how many NFL players they had, but they weren't far behind Alabama at all in NFL players. But, you know, I think what happened, Jason, this is my opinion, what happened to Mark Richt and almost happened to Les Miles is a direct reflection of their inability to beat Alabama and Nick Saban.
Right.
I just don't.
You got to beat Alabama at least every third year.
Yeah.
And these guys want national championships. And the money they are spending, you know, you're about going to have to do that.
Yeah. And the only way to win, at least for now, the only way to win a national championship is you're going to have to be better than Alabama. Yeah. the only way you're going to have to be able to win the SEC championship game, essentially, to get to a national championship. And we know, whether we like it or not, or, you know, the SEC championship goes through Alabama. You're going to have to beat them at some point in time.
Yeah. And Alabama fans, get ready, because it's not always going to be that way. Nick Saban, what, 64 years old?
That's
now?
Right. And he may very well, you know, he may very well lose some coaches, some of his assistant coaches. It may take some head coaching jobs. Certainly couldn't blame any of them. I mean, that's where the money is. If you're really talking hardcore money now, of course, you know, Kirby Smart makes a very good salary as the defensive coordinator, just like Will Muschamp makes a very good salary as a defensive coordinator at Auburn. However, there's a difference between making, say, $1.5 million and making $4 or $5 million.
You know, I mean, Saban might wind up being one of these guys who can his secretary will be taxed at a higher rate than he.
Oh,
he's all said and done.
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't know.
Honey, what is your thoughts? We'll get into the coaching carousel more in depth, but real quick, what is your thoughts on Les Miles? If you're Les Miles now and you're sitting at LSU and you know, hey, the only reason I've still got a job today is because Jimbo Fisher said not interested.
Pretty much. I don't think it had a whole lot to do with LSU beating Texas A&M.
No, no. I
know.
Good Lord, Auburn beat Texas A&M.
Exactly. So I don't think that played a, you know, I don't think that played a huge role in it at all. I think it's exactly what you said. Jimbo basically says, I'm not leaving Florida State.
And why would you?
Why would you, of all places? Now, Florida State, he's in the ACC. As time goes through the years, he's going to dominate the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you want to come into the SEC West, where you're going to have to go to Tuscaloosa, or they're coming to you every single year? There's that would make no sense to me whatsoever.
And you're going to be recruiting against Nick Saban.
That's right.
You're going to be recruiting against Texas A&M right up the road from you, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I mean,
you know,
brutal.
And before Les Miles, you know.
And knowing that you've got to win 80% of your games, because Les Miles is, what, 76?
Did you know Les Miles' winning percentage in LSU is higher than Nick Saban's winning percentage when he was at LSU?
Right.
And that's still not good enough to keep your – well, to almost not be able to keep your job.
So wouldn't it be nice if you were Les Miles, though, say, hey, LSU, take this job and shut
exactly. it. Write me a $15 million check.
I will see you. I will be at Georgia, and we will meet later.
I'll tell you, the person that ought to be fired at LSU is the athletic director at LSU.
Yeah.
Not Les Miles. It should be the athletic director. They strung that guy along just in a horrific way. I was pleased that after the football game, you could tell he's very well liked in LSU. He's quirky. No question he's quirky, but that fits right in at LSU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's just one of them, you know.
He recruits well.
Absolutely.
His players love him.
But that was obvious. The fans love him. Media loves him, because you never know what he's going to say.
Well, if they had made that move, that would have been suicide for LSU football.
Right. Jason, before Nick Saban came there and then Miles, tell me what you know about LSU football.
Not a lot.
Almost nothing.
Like a W about every
That's
year.
Exactly right. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, before Saban got there, and now that Miles has been there like 11 years, I believe, something like that, they had 5 years of football where they won 10 games.
Wow.
In the history.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Five. And you're sitting there now with a guy who's averaging 10 wins a year for 11 years.
And
you want to fire him.
And they think they are now the team to beat in football.
It's just absurd. Again, the athletic director, I'll be. Les Miles is a lot better guy than I am, as the way he handled this and at his press conference. He had nothing but praise for, you know, for the university and how much he loved the football team and loved his players and all of his coaches. He just handled it a whole lot better than I think I would have.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I hope he has great success. And on the flip side of that, you know, it'd probably tickle me if next week or after the bowl game, somebody else offers him a job and he says, you know, I'm gone.
Oh, yeah. And I would be out of town if I had a decent offer somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The number is 737-9505. If you got a thought about the Iron Bowl, want to call and yell
express your
five,
opinion,
War
that's
Eagle,
right.
Or
talk about any of the you know, any of the coaching jobs up. We haven't really touched
we're
on those
and
yet.
And as Jay said, let's go ahead and make this announcement. Next week, we will go to one day a week.
Right.
Until probably March Madness is over, and then we'll take our summer break.
Yeah.
And be a long summer break.
That's right.
Hey, we're old.
That's exactly
we'll
right.
We will be on.
When I was young as we used to be, Jason.
Thursdays, and have our regular guest, and we might shorten a little bit of that if, you know, if get some callers. But anyway,
absolutely.
One day a week starting next week, so stay with us for that. The music's playing. Time for a break. Again, the number 737-9505. We'd like to hear your opinion on the Iron Bowl. Give us a call. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Roll Tide.
Oh.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kullman.com today, or visit our website, live95kullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kullman's independent radio.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280. Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Taking care of business.
That's what happened.
That's it. That's pretty much where it was. All right. Got a caller, somebody that's probably about as sad as I am.
He's in mourning.
Yeah, we actually watched the ball game together. So welcome to the show, my brother, Alan Spiegel.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Alan.
Well, Ronnie, I'm in that boat with Jason, man. I owe you a couple of steaks, I think.
Yeah, extra thick bone in, please.
You called it. I'm telling you, you nailed it. I never would have dreamed it. But, you know, the closer we got to the game, the more I thought, would we even score?
I know.
I think I picked 42-9 last week on the picks.
Absolutely. I didn't think they'd score 13. Yeah,
that's something I don't believe we've discussed. Do we know who had the closest score to the...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't me, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've got that one. We'll talk,
I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get that one.
Getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, that's right.
As bad as it is to lose to Alabama, I actually did feel a little bit better when the game was over than I did before it started. So it's sad, man.
Hey, Evan,
anyway,
tell Ronnie how excited I got when they scored the last touchdown.
I'll tell you what, he was sitting there watching the game. Me and Jason was watching. Janice and Kathy were just kind of sitting there, you know, talking about. Janice was wanting to put in some penalties for pushing and shoving, Ronnie. Pushing and shoving penalties.
And piling on.
And anyway, so just getting down, you know, that last couple of minutes, I said, man, this ain't looking good, Jason. If they don't cover, you in trouble.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when he scored, I haven't seen him move that fast since he was playing basketball in high school. He was running around, screaming, jumping up and down.
I don't guess
he looked like a corpse before that, boy. He was getting nervous, I'm telling you. I was nervous for him.
Absolutely. I don't guess he put on a Alabama hat, though, would he?
I think if he had had one, he would.
He would have.
Probably would have at that time.
Hey, Alan, was there anything about the game that was surprising or, as an Auburn fan, was encouraging?
I think us being able to move the ball, like you guys said a few minutes ago, the first half up the middle.
Yeah.
Man, we was putting you on your heels there, and that was encouraging, but I'm not real encouraged about next year. We got the same players. We can't catch the ball. If we do hit them, you know, with it, if we, they can't catch it. So I don't know. I'm not real optimistic about next year, but on the other side, I am somewhat after that game, because if we'd played that way all year, I kind of agree with what Jason said, that we may walk away with two losses this year or so.
Right.
But I don't know. There's still some trouble down there, so I don't know, man. But anyway, so I guess I owe you a steak, a couple steaks, and you're like, you can beat steak for a while.
Man, I tell you what. That was all in fun. And as the season went on, I thought, why did you make that bet, you know? But as the season got longer and longer, I'm like, hey, this is
that's
probably going to happen now.
You said and that's didn't really think.
Yeah, I just threw it out there, you know, just to have something to argue about.
It's an easy answer. It was on the hype of Jeremy Johnson.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, man, I had a bet more than that on it. We'd have scored more than 20 because you know, Gus did say we could have hung 60 on them. Remember?
Yeah, he sure did. I think that may have come back to haunt him a little bit right there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh Lord, yeah.
But
hey, and Alan, it's definitely going to be over on the over under. So
yeah, already is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, but Alan, you know what? As much fun as we have with the Alabama and Auburn game, you know, I wish folks would take it kind of like we do. That look, yeah, it's a big part of people's lives, but it is the sport part of your life. You know, it's not. It doesn't need to be your life.
I'm telling you, man. I've been living in Florida for almost 21 years.
Yeah.
And coming back, I had really forgotten. And I think it's got worse.
I agree.
People divide friendship over this stuff.
Oh.
Man. I mean, it's ugly. It's
it
terrible.
Is. It is.
I mean, I want to win, but I ain't. I'm not. They just get obnoxious with it, you know. And
absolutely.
And I was on an airplane a while back. I think about something you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. I was on an airplane flying into Huntsville a while back, and right before football season started. And of course, you know, as soon as they realize where you're from, or you're from Alabama, or all
sure.
You know,
so there's oh yeah,
guy sitting beside me, and three or four, and I said, Auburn, he's from Alabama, and he started fussing, you know, about we're not beating them bad enough, you know, and there's problems, and I said, you know, that's the problem, you know, you guys are so used to winning,
yeah,
that now you're fussing about we don't win by enough.
Absolutely, that's exactly right, you know, and like we said earlier, Saban has set such a high standard till, you know, people expect, you know, 10, 11 game wins every year and competing for a national championship, being in the playoffs, well, you know, it's just not going to happen every single year. It's just not possible.
No,
you know,
not.
Just like Mark Richt, you know, and I think Saban certainly came to his defense. He said, you know, you basically fire a guy who's been averaging over 9 wins a year. He said, what are y'all going to do to me when I lose 3 in 1 year?
Well, they'll do the same thing.
You got that right. So,
well, guys, I enjoy your program. I really do.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for calling us, Alan.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Be safe.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Man, more steaks.
Yeah. Hey, that is six steaks, I think. So
you got about a 3-month supply, I think.
Absolutely. Well, what we'll do is we'll just have a cookout one night. We'll just eat them all up.
Just divide them up.
Exactly. Or we can just go eat lunch together one day.
I'd rather do that anyway.
An excuse to go eat. Oh, man.
Oh, right. What have we got going on the local level of interest?
I know we'll get back to some Alabama-Auburn stuff and look at their stats and, you know, talk more about that
I'm
later.
I'm afraid we'll have to.
Oh, we're going to have to. You know, it's just, you know, there's people out there that won't know this stuff.
And, Ronnie, let me say this. I know I am true Auburn, bleed blue and orange, but, you know, that game was over, and yes, I came out very well on that game.
For entertainment purposes only.
But if there had not been a penny, I wouldn't have lost a wink of sleep.
No.
Those years of my life are over. With.
Thank goodness.
There is a lot more important things
isn't that the truth?
in my life.
The sun came up Sunday morning.
That's right.
You know, and here's the thing about it. You know, the people that's on the outside looking in, you know, the fans, the players don't even – for the players when it's over, they hate it and they wanted to win, but I don't think they woke up the next morning down and depressed and – you know, sitting in a corner in a fetal position because they lost the ball game.
And there's Auburn fans that year is ruined now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they
what a sad life.
Hey, we've got Jeffrey on the line. We'll take him before we get on the local scene here.
Right,
hey, Jeffrey.
Good.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you, bud?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I got a question for y'all.
Well, shoot it to us.
Has your team ever felt so bad for somebody that your quarterback fell on the ball so they have some points on the scoreboard?
No, not that I know of.
Because that's what Florida State did for Florida this weekend. They went up for the quarterback fell on the bottom of the end zone to give them a safety.
Now, that was ugly. That was an ugly football
game
right there.
That is ugly, as Ronnie said, but not as ugly as this weekend will be.
I'm afraid it's going to get terrible.
It could.
Florida's got a good defense. They've got a really good defense, but their offense is like a train wreck.
And they have no... You know, they don't have any help after they get past their start. They're thin, really, at every position, Jeffrey. And, you know, their backup quarterback does a fair job. He's gotten worse as the year's gone on. But, they can't run him. If they try to run him against Alabama and gets him hurt, then they're down to their third-string quarterback. So they are really limited in what they can do. And Florida State exposed them.
They are terrible.
And Florida State exposed them.
Oh, yes, they did. They got lucky to be 10-1 going into that game.
Absolutely.
To be honest with you. Because I believe Tennessee's a better team now than they were when they played Florida.
Agreed.
I believe if they played again, they'd beat them. I still think Florida beat Georgia. I think Georgia's also a train wreck.
Hey, Jeffrey, real quick, what's your thoughts on the Jimbo Fisher turning down LSU? What have you been hearing on this?
I heard he said he ain't going, but I also fall for my stack of podium in my anger one day, so he ain't going to Alabama, so you never can tell what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think Jimbo stays at Florida State. Well, we know he's not going to LSU now, apparently, so.
I think the LSU deal looks a lot like, what was it, 02, 03, the whole Jay Jacobs and flying the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it looked a lot like that. They were going to fire Left, and whoever they were going to hire, the safety didn't come through. And then they were like, no, he's a guy. He's a guy the whole time.
Yeah,
it's kind of like leaving your wife at home, going to pick up what you think is going to be your hot new girlfriend, and she says, no, thank you.
Yeah, so. Right.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Hey, Jeffrey, and I don't care it's the fact that LSU is in the, you know, SEC, and everybody around here thinks SEC is the greatest in the world. Your opinion, if the LSU job is open or the Florida State job is open, it's not because you're a Florida State fan, which one of those two is the better job?
Well, think about what LSU was before.
Bingo.
At Les Miles and before Nick Saban was there.
That's right.
And I think if you get rid of Les Miles, unless you hire Saban to come back, and I don't see that happening.
No.
Or you hire some kind of caliber coach like that, LSU's going to be right back in the same dip it was, you know, they're going to be at bottom half of the West.
Absolutely. Florida State's, to me, a much better, much more lucrative, much better opportunity to win a national championship at Florida State than you do at LSU.
Exactly. You got a lot more talent than the state of Florida. I mean, you can pull from Texas, but it's really, once Texas gets back on track, it's really going to be hard to out-recruit Texas.
Yeah, that's
true. As bad as I hate Florida State, even I would take the Florida State job over
No question. The Florida State job is a much better job than the LSU job.
I think the Georgia job is better than the LSU job.
I agree. Honestly. Oh, yeah. I agree. For several reasons. The talent in Florida, the talent in Georgia is enormous.
Exactly.
There's football talent everywhere. And I guess this next statement is going to be because I'm an Alabama fan. If you're in Georgia, you're in the SEC East.
Which is hands down the worst division
in
college football.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just repeating what I've heard SEC fans say.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to throw some SEC anti-hate out. I'm just repeating what I heard. It's a terrible compared to the West.
It's horrific compared to the West. Why would he want to leave Florida State to come get in the SEC West? That makes no sense.
Why he would want to leave it now, especially, he has so much talent coming back next year.
Exactly.
The offensive line was two freshmen, two sophomores, and a junior. And they're all coming back. The defense, I don't think we're losing one guy on defense this year.
Exactly.
There's so much talent, because this is considered a rebuilding year. More than pleased with how they played what would they call a rebuilding year.
Yeah. Haven't they won 10?
Yes, they have won 10. They're 10-2.
Well, wouldn't you love to be rebuilding at 10-2?
Oh, wouldn't you know it?
I mean,
Auburn would love to be 10-2.
That's right.
Yeah, 10-2, it don't matter if we're rebuilding, building, or tearing down, or whatever. Just give us 10-2.
Hey, Jeffrey, I'm sorry.
If I could have 10-2 every year we have to rebuild, I'm on cloud 9. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, and wouldn't you think LSU would be happy? Les Miles has been there 11 years, and he's averaging 10 wins a season, and that's not good enough?
That's apparently they don't remember how bad they had it.
That's right. They also don't remember that his winning percentage is greater than Nick Saban's when he was at LSU.
It is. He's by far the better coach at LSU when you compare Saban versus Miles.
That's right.
Now, as far as head coach is concerned, obviously Nick Saban's obviously Saban is a lot better coach, but as far as their tenure at LSU, Miles has done more than Saban has.
They
both have a national championship. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's got like two or three SEC championships there.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, and he's got a better win percentage.
Absolutely.
Why? The only reason they were trying to get rid of him is because he couldn't beat Nick Saban.
Bingo, that's it. And Jeffrey, look, I know how this is going to sound. If you're going to get rid of coaches based on their ability to beat Nick Saban, you're going to have to replace everybody in the SEC.
You're exactly right.
I mean, and basically, since Saban has been at Alabama, the vast, if not all, if not every school now with Rick being gone, has had a different coach since Saban's been in the SEC.
Exactly.
I think they all have.
Right. You're right. I believe you're right.
Yeah. Hey, moving to the ACC, who wins, Clemson or North Carolina?
I don't know.
North Carolina, baby.
Clemson has got worse, and North Carolina has got better. That first game they lost against South Carolina was a fluke. I mean, it was an absolute fluke, because I believe they play them by now. I believe North Carolina beat them by four touchdowns.
Well, South Carolina's terrible.
Yeah, they are terrible, and I don't know what happened the first game of the year. I don't know. But I believe, now I don't think they're caliber to win the national title, but I believe they're better than definitely South Carolina.
Yeah. You know, Clemson, you know, what, they beat Carolina by five?
Yeah. I'm thinking they were kind of looking past it.
Probably so. My question, I got you another question, Jeffrey, which we know that the playoff picture, they'll announce those top four in the playoff later today, putting you on a spot again. Who do you think is going to be in that four?
I don't think the four changes.
You don't think it changes at all?
No, I don't think it changes.
Let me ask you, do you think...
Now, the order may change.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think Alabama jumps Clemson and goes to one?
Well, I heard somebody talking about this today, and I hadn't thought about it. I heard on CBS or something, then I heard on another radio show earlier today, and I hadn't thought about it. What's the number one thing that the committee wants? What's the number one thing that goes to playoffs? Conference championships, right?
Right.
Who's the only one in the four that has a conference championship right now?
That has one right now?
Yes.
Oklahoma.
Been declared a conference championship.
Is that
right
Oklahoma?
Now. That's Oklahoma.
And they don't, but they don't play a quote championship game per se.
Well, exactly. But the thing about it is, they play nine conference games.
Right.
So they play everybody in the conference.
Right.
Well, this Saturday will be Alabama and Florida's ninth conference game.
Gotcha.
Everybody keeps saying, "Well, we're going to play conference." Well, they play nine conference games.
Okay.
The same amount everybody else plays.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, but they're the only ones that's been declared a conference champion, and I think they're wanting to try to get Clemson out of that first place. Because it's North Carolina and Clemson. Now I'm just hearsay talking right
here.
Yeah,
sure.
Because they've walked out of that meeting before and made some unexplainable decisions.
That's true.
But I don't think Clemson stays number one. It'll either be Alabama or it'll be Oklahoma. And the reason I say Oklahoma is because they're the only one that has a conference champion right now.
Good point.
And they may change that the following week, but you know.
Yeah.
But if Clemson stays number one and then North Carolina beats Clemson, North Carolina has a legitimate argument. Hey, we beat the number one in the college playoffs.
That's true. It's going to be if a couple of those teams get beat, it's going to be very interesting as how they come up with their top four.
Oh, it's going to be very interesting. I don't want to be in that round.
I don't either. And I think Iowa goes down. I think Michigan State beats Iowa. That's just my opinion.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what everybody thinks, but I think Michigan State's going to end up winning it.
Yeah.
I don't think the top four is going to change. I think they're going to stay the same. They may change the order. They may leave it just like it is.
Right.
Who knows? Like I said, you never can tell what comes out of
that
meeting.
That's right. Going to be very interesting after next Saturday.
Oh, yes, yes.
Especially if there's a couple upsets.
Yes.
Because you never know.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, I will get out of here. I know y'all fixing to have some bills to pay.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to pay them bills, man.
You definitely got to get some money going around, don't you, Jason?
Oh, yeah. You got to buy some steaks. Maybe I'll get to eat one of them.
We'll invite you over. I got plenty coming.
You got plenty of people, buddy.
I was going to say, you could probably pick some people up on the side of the interstate just holding the sign.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, see you, bud.
The number, 256-737-9505. Give us a call. Yeah. Give us your post-Iron Bowl thoughts.
Have I said Roll Tide yet?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay.
All right, be back with you. Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Well, you know you make me wanna jump, kick my heels up and jump, throw my hands up and jump, throw my head back and jump.
That's what I was doing Saturday.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of my fans doing that.
That's what, and you were too.
Yeah, I
at
was.
At the end,
I was.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I was.
That's right. You traitor.
Yeah. Boy.
But you're back on the wagon today. You got your hat and your jacket.
Oh
too.
Yeah, I'm not one of these fair weather fans.
That's right.
If Auburn don't ever win another game,
right,
I'll still be for them. I mean, I'll be quiet, but I'll be for them.
You'll silently support
yeah.
them. hey, Jason, before Jeffrey called, we were talking a little bit about just some of the local sports that's going on, and right now it is, you know, gearing up and getting kind of in the middle of basketball season right here. Games going on tonight. If folks want to go to see some basketball, we have Coleman is at ARAB. Athens Bible is at St. Bernard. Vimont's at Susan Moore. Good Hope at West Point. Hanceville at Holly Pond. Fairview at Russellville. So if you want to see some basketball games, there's plenty of teams that basically everybody's playing tonight. Now, again, the games that's being played here in Coleman County is Good Hope at West Point, and Hanceville at Holly Pond. So if you're and Athens Bible at St. Bernard. So if you're wanting to just stay in the county, you know, either go to St. Bernard, West Point, or Holly Pond to see some basketball. Plenty of time to get there.
Friday night, big game coming up. I think Cold Springs visits Holly Pond Friday.
Well, that
night,
will be so. A big one. Probably the, as far as the guys' teams and maybe the girls. Well, I wouldn't say that about the girls, but the guys. Probably talent wise, the best two teams in the county, Cold yep. Springs boys and Holly Pond's boys. Tim Willoughby for Cold Springs, Mitch Morris, the coach at Holly Pond. So if you want to see some, you know, probably the best basketball this county has to offer, Friday night is that at Holly Pond? You
at
said
at Holly Pond.
Friday night would be a good night to go try to catch some basketball.
And I may actually try to catch that one. I'm not yeah. guaranteeing it, but
yeah.
you know how it is when you get old.
Exactly. On so, Friday and you yeah. get home, it's tough to get back out yeah. sometimes. But plenty of time, Jason, tonight to go see some basketball. Some of the schools, as we've mentioned before, and you'll play as many as five games in a night. Usually they'll start them at 3 o'clock, especially if they're only using one gym. And so you have plenty of time to go. Some of the schools have two gyms, and they run those games at the same time, so it makes the night a little bit shorter from coaches and administrators and parents.
Ronnie, if the weather's too bad, you don't want to get out tonight, which I would encourage to support the teams here in Coleman if you've got a chance to get out. But
if the weather outside's
yeah,
frightful.
And the staying inside's delightful.
Delightful.
You might want to turn the old tube on
yeah.
because I think it's 7:30. You need to check this. You might have it in the paper. North Carolina, Maryland visits North Carolina. Maryland, the number two team in the country now.
Right here it is, Jason. I've got it. Maryland, again, at North Carolina on ESPN, 8:30.
8:30.
8:30 hour time.
See, that's what I'm showing, but Tyler yeah. looked it up somewhere today and said 7:30.
Well, who can believe what Tyler
I'm
says?
Telling.
I mean, he of all people picked Auburn to win.
Right, right.
So we can't depend
hey,
on him.
He's while a, we're talking about that.
He's just not dependable.
Why don't you announce our winner on our
okay.
contest?
Well, our contest winner, Jason, and what we did, folks, if you didn't hear, you could call in, give your score that you thought the Alabama-Auburn game, the score would be and what team would win, and then whoever was closest wins $50, and if you hit it right on the nose, then Jay was going to throw in another $50, make it $100. The young man who won was Eric Barnes.
Rigged.
Yeah, exactly. Rigged. Rigged score. He picked the Alabama-Auburn score, Alabama 30, Auburn 13.
And don't we know get much
you
closer
got,
than that.
That's exactly right. And the score ended up Alabama 29, Auburn 13. So he won the $50. Congratulations to Eric. And he almost took $50 out of Jay's pocket, too.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
So that. So the winner of the pick'em contest between of the Iron Bowl was Eric Barnes. Congratulations, Eric! You wins $50.
Yeah, congratulations, Eric! You're a lot smarter guy than your dad is. So. How about this? I want to run this headline by you and just get your initial thought on this.
Okay. Now, initial thought.
Yeah.
First thought.
Sit back in your chair a little bit to hear this. Source says David Price and the Boston Red Sox have reached a 7-year. You ready for this?
Who's David Price?
I have no idea. Okay. This picture is the first time I've ever seen it.
Is it a player?
Yeah.
Okay.
7-year.
7 years.
$217 million deal.
217 million.
Yes.
That's over $30 million a year.
Yes, to play baseball.
I wish I had started playing earlier.
$30 million a year.
How do you afford to have anybody else on the team? How do you afford to turn the lights on in the stadium?
And I know baseball.
Is that the highest salary out there?
It's got to be.
7 years, $217 million.
And I don't even know what position he plays.
All of them.
The only David Price I know I went to high school with.
That ain't him.
No.
This guy, he may pitch it and catch it and play first base.
He says his left-hander was 18-5.
Well, he's a pitcher then.
With a American League leading 2.45 ERA last season with the Detroit Tigers and Toronto Blue Jays.
So he was on two different teams last year.
Right.
He was a starter. Had to be a starting pitcher if he was 18-5, so he wasn't a closer.
The $31 million contract is the most ever for a pitcher and matches that of the Tiger slugger something, something, something.
Okay. Wow. $217 million. I wonder if that's guaranteed money. I wonder what's the guaranteed money.
Yeah, I don't know, but.
Goodness.
When we get a chance, I'm going to figure that up. And I'm going to break it down even to the pitch, about how many averages.
Yeah.
And it's going to be mind-blowing.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess he's smiling.
Look here. Help has arrived. The cavalry is rolling in. Sheila, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Sheila.
War Eagle, anyway.
Oh, that sounded a little weak there, Sheila.
No, it's not weak.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be War Eagle.
All right.
Always.
I know you're excited about the basketball team, aren't you?
Yeah.
Maybe Cold Springs basketball.
Oh, that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
We actually played last night instead of tonight. Cold Springs did.
Oh, who'd y'all play last night?
Addison.
Oh, goodness. I saw that.
goodness.
I know the result of that, even without looking.
Sheila. Give us your thoughts on the game Saturday.
Yeah, what?
Give us your thoughts on the game Saturday. You know that little game.
I thought we were going to pull it out. It was so much closer than I thought.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I think they were pretty good. And don't get me started on some of them calls, because I promise my blood pressure won't go back up.
You don't want to talk about Facebook, do you?
No.
That'll get your blood pressure up, too.
That didn't take long.
You know, he just tries so hard, don't he, Jason?
He's good at it, Sheila.
You know, I don't want to complain about Facebook. I'm looking at my portfolio right now, and I've made $2,204 on Facebook. And
I see.
$1,110 on Netflix. So, yeah.
Hey.
Doing good.
Depends on what you're using
it
for.
Gotta pay these radio station bills somehow.
That's true.
Sheila, did you really think Auburn had a chance to win a ball game?
No, I didn't before the game, but if the game went on, I did. I mean, you know, it was just, they were moving the ball.
I agree.
Yeah.
They did a good job early.
Here's my thing, though. If I'm in that game, and you know I love Gus, I still love Gus.
Yes.
You know, fourth and two. We're that game, and you're that far, underdog, go for it. Don't kick, still go. Go for it.
Yeah, I agree. Auburn had nothing to lose.
I thought the same thing.
I don't understand it. I do not understand it.
Yeah.
But I did have a good weekend because Notre Dame got beat and the Patriots got beat.
That's right. Denver put it on the Patriots, didn't it?
I just made my own challenge. I keep saying basically.
Hey, what did you think about when Muschamp went nuts?
You know, I don't want to make y'all don't want to get this started again, but I wish he had got a warning. Saban got a warning. Saban got a warning. We should have got a warning.
he kind of went off there, you know.
He did. Saban ran onto the field and grabbed the referee's arm.
That's different, though, Sheila. Saban don't cuss. He goes out there and talks to him like it's a Sunday school class.
That's true. I'm just saying, give them both a warning, and the next time do whatever you got to do. No?
But it's as Ronnie said. Ronnie, tell Sheila what you said, and I agree with this 100%.
Yeah, what I said earlier, Sheila, was, you know, when you have that title of head coach in front of your name, whether you're Nick or you're Gus, you're going to be able to get in that official's ear and bend it a little bit more than the assistants. They're not going. Their fuses were going to be real short with assistant coaches.
Yeah, and that's true, and I know that. I think it would have been better all around if they had just done it that way, though. You know, then they'd have been no questions.
It's
over with. It's over with.
That's right. And the sun came up on Sunday morning, you know.
It did. Like I say, some of the teams are really, hey, I hate Notre Dame, they got beat.
Yeah.
Hate Patriots, they got beat.
Right. Well, hey, Alex.
Now, if Peterson would just get hurt playing with us.
Vikings.
Why do they make this guy to be a god? Every play he runs, it's like, oh, look at him. And I'm thinking, he beat a child.
Oh, well. He did.
It drives me crazy.
But he can play some football, and when it all said and done.
I couldn't play with him. I wouldn't be able to play with him.
Hey, Sheila, one thing I want to straighten out that the rumor going around. You know the referee that took the ball Saturday during the game slipped on the Auburn sideline. It's being blamed.
Alabama sideline.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's being blamed on.
You seen my comment, did you?
No, I hadn't seen it. But
oh, never mind then.
You know, it's being blamed on the field being watered down.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But if you look, he was on the tarp, plastic tarp or whatever it's made of.
Nothing to do with the field.
Had nothing at all to do with the field. That was dry. Yeah. That happens when it's 90 degrees.
That's just Andy. Andy just likes to stir things up. That's just like on my Trump thing. He just loves to stir things up.
Hey, when you're the home team, if you want to water it before they come out for warm-ups, I say go for it. It's your home game. You do what, you know, you get any advantage you can.
Well, you know, I don't know.
And that's refreshing to hear somebody say that.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, whatever advantage within the rules.
If I was Gus and I could do that and it'd give me an advantage, thought I could win, I would water the food.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I probably would too.
No question.
But Alabama wouldn't do that.
It was a great game, y'all. I mean, it was an entertaining game.
It was. It was a better game, a closer score game than I ever anticipated it would be.
Well, y'all, did y'all hear? They're not these coaches. I'm so tired of this too. It's just like they throw people away. You know?
Yep.
And Georgia coach got offered Miami job, I heard.
Oh, I have not heard that. I knew they were interested in him, but I had not heard that he'd been offered.
He's in Miami today. And
is he? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know
That's what I heard. Now, you know how that might not be true. You know how Facebook is, but that's what I heard.
They also had interviewed Dan Mullen, too, at Miami.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was an entertaining game. And Jason, I better see you Friday night.
Now, I will probably be there if
Listen,
I'm
way
not too
older
old.
Than you. And I'll make it.
Hey, Sheila, Auburn ended the season 6-6. Look in your crystal ball. What do you see next year? Do you think they're going to be better?
Way better. Okay. I think they were improving it. I think they're going to be way better.
Okay. On both sides of the ball.
And I hope Alabama beats Florida. And I hope they win, Ronnie.
They should.
I will.
If they don't beat Florida,
on that one.
If they don't beat Florida, they don't deserve to be
you
playing.
Said that right.
That's for sure.
All right, guys. I'm doing y'all today.
Yeah. Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
Bye.
Roll Tide, Sheila.
Oh,
I knew I'd get her.
Oh, you threw that one in.
I threw that one in at the very end. But I heard her say War Eagle.
Yeah. It sounds like we were in belts shopping.
That's right. It does. I'm going over to check out the crock pots.
I feel like I need to
buy
something.
You go over to the women's department.
All right, I guess that's music playing, so we will take a break. Be right back with you. The number 737
yeah.
305. Give us a call.
I'll get the chestnuts off the roasting pile.
Yeah. Before we head out to Bill's.
Yes.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. A lawmaker from West Alabama is urging people to shop only at convenience stores owned by Americans, saying that many of the stores, quote, are not owned by God-fearing Christians. State Representative Alan Harper claims the merchants routinely wire money back to their homelands. The Aliceville Republican says those transferred funds can be used to create, quote, death and destruction in America. Utility rates for many Alabamians are about to go down. The State Public Service Commission has unanimously approved a measure that reduces by $120 million the amount Alabama power customers will pay over the next year. The reductions are based on lower production costs. Alagasco's increased operating efficiencies and lower natural gas prices will result in a $22.9 million reduction in those rates. Alabama state troopers investigated 7 fatal traffic crashes that killed 9 people during the Thanksgiving holiday. Alcohol was a factor in at least one of those crashes. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Hillary Clinton is in Montgomery today to help mark the 60th anniversary of the city's bus boycott, which began with the arrest of Rosa Parks. That event in 1955 started the 381-day boycott to protest segregated seating. The Democratic frontrunner is speaking at the church pastored by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during that boycott. Bobby Hernandez has pleaded not guilty to charges of kidnapping his 5-year-old son from Vestavia Hills in 2002 and taking him to Ohio. Hernandez is also charged with forgery, records tampering, and interference with custody in Cuyahoga County Court. He was arrested in early November after the now 18-year-old son discovered his real identity during the college application process. Little Vegas is what Mobile police called yesterday's raid on 5 bars and 4 residences that led to the seizure of several gambling machines. Authorities say weeks of investigation, including surveillance, undercover operations, and confidential informants, set up that operation. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In sports, in college basketball last night, South Alabama got a dominating 79-50 victory over Division II Spring Hill. The UAB Blazers are in action tonight, hosting Georgia State in Birmingham. Offensive and defensive coordinators from Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma are among finalists for the Broyles Award, given annually to a top assistant coach in college football. The Golden State Warriors are now 19-0 on the NBA season after a road win last night. While head coach Steve Kerr is sidelined after off-season back surgery, interim coach Luke Walton has guided the team to its unprecedented start. While Kerr gets the official credit for the wins, the NBA says that Walton is eligible for the Coach of the Month award. Despite the fact tonight's Lakers at Philadelphia game features the 2 worst teams in the NBA, the arena is sold out. The reason? Tonight's game will be the last in Philadelphia for native son Kobe Bryant, drafted straight from high school by the Lakers in 1996. Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Oh, yeah, jamming, baby.
That's right.
Ronnie, a little update here on the David Price $217 million deal. Ronnie and I done a little figuring, boy, we were good at it.
A little mathematician work.
If you're David Price and getting $217 million, that averages out to $36.16 million per season. Okay, he pitched in 23 games last year. Now, he didn't pitch complete games.
Sure.
But 23 games.
Yeah.
He recorded a record, went 18-5. So, if he pitches 23 games this year, he will get $1.57 million per game.
Okay. Say that again. If he pitched the same amount of games this year as he did last year, right?
Right.
$1.57 million per game.
Per game. All right. Okay. If he throws a no-hitter.
So he's going nine innings.
Nine innings. And let's say, what would we say? He averaged four pitches?
Three pitches, I think.
I think we averaged four.
Okay, we did four? Okay.
Anyway, come out to 81 pitches. This isn't a no-hitter. It comes out to $19,382 per pitch.
Per pitch.
He throws the baseball one time, $20,000. So so he throws it and two times, he buys a nice vehicle.
roughly $20,000 per pitch.
$20,000 per pitch. So
how long it take to throw a pitch?
In one inning, Ronnie.
Yeah.
He would throw enough baseballs to buy a $500,000 house.
One inning that will take, 15 minutes?
Yeah. He can buy a house.
By the time I drove home from here, it'd be like me driving home making $250,000.
Yeah. All right.
Is there not something a little bit wrong about that?
Yeah, if he threw a normal game, and say he threw 135 pitches in a game, $11,629 per pitch. All right, if you divided that by the outs, let's see, 1,570,000, 27 outs, $58,000 per out.
What a lot of money to be made in this country, isn't it?
I'm telling you, throwing a baseball.
Throwing a baseball. Hey, I don't know the details on this. I'm going to find out. But those baseball players, if I'm not mistaken, they have to pay tax in every state that they go play in. There's something about that they have to pay state tax in each state. So if they're in Florida playing, they pay whatever state tax is. If they go to Texas,
Never heard that.
Yeah, I'll find out the details by Thursday. I am 99% sure that I am correct in that because Stewie Moore, Stewie's brother Ben, plays minor league baseball in Florida, and he was telling me that they have to pay state tax on their salary depending on what state they're in.
I wonder how the NFL gets by with that because I've heard them talk about people taking less money to go in a state that had no state tax.
Yeah.
So I
don't know.
They don't have near as many games, so it may not be maybe the same thing.
I'm not sure. I will find out before Thursday, but I'm almost positive they have to pay state tax in basically every state that they play in.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, not only
or some kind of maybe it's federal income.
You're going to have somebody keep up.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. And I don't know if the league office kind of does that themselves.
Something, we're bouncing around here, but things keep popping in my mind. Something you and I talked about earlier today, I called you about, and if anybody knows the answer to this question, please give us a call, 737-9505.
Yeah.
And the question is, when Auburn kicked the ball off, the Alabama player touched it, didn't touch it, whatever. Let's say he touched the ball on the 2-3 yard line. The ball goes into the end zone.
Yeah.
The other Alabama player picks the ball up, runs it out to the 10. Auburn tackles it. All right. The announcers, Vern and Gary, both say that if he was tackled in the end zone or had stepped out of the end zone, that is a touchback.
That's right.
It's not a safety.
No.
So someone please explain why that is not a safety if the ball's touched on the field side, goes into the end zone,
and
why that's not a safety.
Yeah. And I asked Coach Redding out at Fairview. I saw him today, and he never could really explain it to me because I asked that same question. Because I said, every kid, doesn't matter whether it's peewee, high school, college, they're not going to take any chance. They're going to pick it. They're going to pick it up and bring it out.
No, I don't know if he actually touched it or not. Do you?
I don't know. You never could really never could really tell whether he touched, you know, the ball or not. But boy, I do know this. If they kicked it off, they've got to get on it.
Yeah.
Alabama has to get on it. If they don't, Auburn gets on it. It's, you know, it's a
like
touchdown.
An onside kick.
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, it'd be a touchdown in the end zone. So they have to get on it. They have to gain possession of it.
Tally, Greg Johnson, if he's listening, his mother's in the hospital, so he may not be listening. But he is a football official, so if he could give us a call, okay, he might could explain that. I'd like to hear him try to explain it anyway.
Yeah.
So that would be entertaining. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's confusing. It's confusing to people watching. It's confusing to players that's playing.
Yeah, and
so.
Vernon Gary just give that boy from Alabama down the road about running the ball out, and I'm thinking I would have done the same thing.
Absolutely. Did exactly the same thing any of us would. But, you know, talking about that, Jason, it kind of leads us into, you know, again, back into Alabama and Auburn. And, you know, for those who may be interested in statistics and those kind of things, which I am, you know, we'll just briefly, you know, highlight some of these, jump in and give me your opinion. First downs for the entire game, Alabama had 24, Auburn had 12. Third down conversion, not much difference, really. Bama was 5 of 16. That's not very impressive. Auburn was 3 of 15. That's not very impressive. Total yards for Alabama, 465. That's quite a few. Auburn had 261. Derrick Henry.
There's what I want to talk about.
Derrick Henry alone had 271 yards himself.
I think Alabama should have got the ball to Derrick Henry. He didn't get to carry enough.
He only carried it, I think it was only 46 times, I'll tell you right. Yes, 46 times, 271 yards. He averaged 5.9 yards per carry. His longest run of the night, which was late in the ball game that Jason was needing to score, that was a 30-yard run. So he alone ran for 271 yards, which is, I'm not trying to pile on, he gained more yardage than the Auburn football team, the entire football team gained. So impressive night for him. I think about the last four or five games, he's gained over, you know, 200 yards a game.
Is he your Heisman winner?
No question.
Yep, I agree.
There's nobody close right now. So, again, they had 208, Alabama had 286 yards rushing. 271 of them came from Derrick Henry. It's pretty obvious that they do miss Kenyon Drake. I wonder if Kenyon Drake will be back and able to play this weekend, because they're going to need Kenyon Drake going farther as a season, because you can't, well, I guess you could, but having to run Derrick Henry 46 times a game, they need somebody that they can put back there that can, you know, can give him a break, can pick up some yards, and Kenyon Drake can do that. But, you know, they played Damian Harris a little bit, who's a true freshman. He carried the ball one time for 2 yards, you know. So, I think it's going to be vitally important to see if they can get Kenyon Drake back into the lineup, either to spell Derrick Henry or put him out there in a slot and throw the football to him, because he has got a set of wheels. I mean, he can run. So,
yeah, and when he carries it 46 times against a team like Oklahoma or somebody like that, that's not going to work.
No. I mean, and not throwing off on Auburn. Carrying the ball 46 times against Auburn, just like Jason said, is different than carrying it 46 times against, you know, an Oklahoma or, you know, a defensive club like that. So, Alabama averaged 5.7 yards every time they carried the football. Jeremy Johnson, let me just say, Jeremy Johnson, I thought, did an okay job. He didn't cost him the ball game. Right. He did nothing that, you know, that immediately resulted in plays for Alabama. He was 10 out of 23, 170 yards, threw one touchdown. And, of course, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. It counts as 6 points, but, that's where the majority.
Is he not slow as molasses, though, or appears to be?
He appears to be, yeah.
I think he's faster than what he looks, but my gosh, he would drown running through a car wash.
Yes, you're correct there. But again, he had 170 yards passing, no interceptions. Jake Coker was 17 out of 26 for 179 yards, so not much difference between the two, really.
And Coker should have had a pick six.
Oh, I threw it right to him.
Oh, I'm telling you, hit him right in the chest.
Absolutely. Hit him right in the numbers, and you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda. If he had thrown that interception and Auburn had scored, you know, could it have turned out differently? The game. I don't.
Who knows?
the score would be different, but I think the result's going to end the same. I just think Alabama.
Oh, Alabama!
They're just
no
so
doubt,
much
better.
You know,
yeah.
And I hate to say so much better football team, but if you watch it objectively at all, they are so much better football team. I'm not talking about coaching. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just pure athletic talent that was on the field.
Oh, yeah.
It really wasn't close.
I think Alabama's the only thing I think right now standing between Alabama and a national championship is a team that took care of Alabama 2 years ago and appears to be
on
a hot streak.
Yeah. Oklahoma's hot. I'd love to see a rematch.
I think you're going to see it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would like to see it. I would hope the result would be different.
One thing about it, they have got it set now where Big Ten is going to have a team in the national championship.
Yeah, I don't see any way that now that they put Oklahoma in that spot, and they, you know, which now it doesn't matter because Notre Dame got beat. I don't think there's any way that Notre Dame's coming. No. I'm sorry, that Oklahoma's coming out of there. They're sitting at this time, they're at 3, Alabama's 2, Clemson 1, Iowa 4, I believe. Or am I getting correct?
I think Oklahoma's 4 and Iowa's 5, and the winner of that game will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but this past week is what I'm saying, the 4 teams in it.
Yeah, I think that's where it was this past week, wouldn't it? Was it Iowa?
I think Iowa was in.
They may have been.
I think they bumped Notre Dame, even though Notre Dame won, they bumped Notre Dame out and put Iowa in. I think it was Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Oklahoma 3, Iowa 4.
Let's see, pulling it up right now. Clemson number 1, yeah. Alabama 2, Oklahoma 3, and Iowa 4.
Yeah.
So that was last week.
That's correct.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Oklahoma coming in at 3.
One of them's going to leave.
I don't think they're leaving because they put them at 3. If there was going to be a chance,
one of them's going to leave. Them and Iowa play.
No. Yeah. Oklahoma's through. Michigan State plays Iowa.
You sure?
Yeah, you smoking crack again. You on the reefer.
Let me see.
Oklahoma's done. Their season's over. They don't play a, quote, championship game. That's what Kevin and I was talking about. They just play 9 regular season games. Oklahoma is through. Trust me.
I would have bet my
you would have
house
lost
on that.
Iowa plays Michigan State.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I see it now.
Iowa, Michigan State. Yeah, what I'm saying is, when the committee put Oklahoma in there at the 3 spot, their plan is not to take Oklahoma out of that playoff.
Right.
If they were on the borderline, they would put them at 4.
All right, what if Iowa beats Michigan State?
Then it'll stay.
You think they get 2 teams then? The Iowa and Oklahoma?
They're not in the same conference.
Are they not in the same conference?
No,
okay.
It's different. Yeah, if Iowa wins, they're going to stay in.
All right.
If all the teams that Clemson's got to play, Alabama's got to play, and Iowa's got to play. The only team that doesn't have to play is Oklahoma.
And I think Clemson's going to be gone.
North Carolina beats Clemson?
Beat Clemson this weekend. Yes, I do. After watching the little bit I saw them, South Carolina.
Okay. And it could happen.
Yeah,
it could happen. Okay. My question to you, I think I asked you this earlier. When the polls come out, or the playoff picture comes out later tonight, does it remain the same? Clemson 1, not that it really matters. Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Oklahoma 3, Iowa 4, or does Bama jump Clemson and go 1 and Clemson go 2?
I think Alabama should jump, but I doubt they will just because of the Clemson being undefeated.
I agree. I do not think Bama jumps, even though Clemson somewhat struggled against a bad South Carolina team. But I think it stays the same.
So if they played as it is right now,
yeah.
Clemson would play Iowa.
That's right.
And Alabama would play Oklahoma.
That's right.
Game, so.
And I think your national championship comes out of the Alabama-Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
I think either one of them beat either one of
the
other two.
I want to see Iowa out of there. I'd rather see Michigan State in there. That name just don't sound
Iowa.
Right. Yeah, in the national championship anything.
Do you think Iowa beats Michigan State?
No.
I don't think they got a chance. No, well, I hate to say they don't have a chance. I think they've got maybe a 30% chance of winning.
Oklahoma,
Michigan State wins
last
that.
Week actually moved up four spots.
Yeah.
Four spots.
Okay. Do you have the last week who was in the fifth spot? Is it Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Okay. So Michigan State kind of holds their own fate. If they beat Iowa, I would assume they will move up to the four spot.
Right. The winner of that game's in. So
the only if that happened, the only team in that has not been beaten would be Clemson. All the other three teams have a loss.
Right.
And that really doesn't surprise.
Is there any way Ohio State can get back in the picture?
Well, you know, they were talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's going to take multiple teams getting beat.
Yeah.
It's going to take more than a Clemson or more than Iowa or more than an Alabama. It's going to take multiple.
Well, what about Notre Dame? Any way Notre Dame gets back
in the
picture?
I don't think so. I think Ohio State would be in before Notre Dame. Ohio State, give them credit whether you like them or not, they destroyed Michigan.
Oh,
they
yeah.
made a case for themselves. Yeah. If you know, two out of the three teams that's in the playoff right now lose this weekend.
Joe Pace, if you are listening, give us a call and let us know why or why not Notre Dame in the national playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and this is when it gets interesting, running when it gets down to the last week or two, and you see how the dominoes are starting to fall.
Yeah, and you know the committee wants them to fall certain ways, so it takes the heat off of them.
Right. And, boy, what about North Carolina? If North Carolina beats Clemson, they've got a claim to be in that.
Where are they ranked right now?
They're way back.
Yeah, they have.
They're not going to make it.
They don't have a Chinaman's chance.
No. But they do have a claim.
They do have a claim.
They've beaten the number one team. They will be 11-1 if they win that game.
Yeah.
So
I don't think the committee is going to base it on the one sentence that we beat the number one team.
No, but
now, granted, they've only lost one game, North Carolina. But who did they lose that game to? And granted, it was the first game of the year.
Right.
Who did they lose
to?
The worst team in the SEC.
That almost beat. That's number one team.
But possibly the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah, probably.
That doesn't help North Carolina's case. No. If North Carolina got beaten by a top 10 ranked club, then, you know, they might have a little bit more weight, a little more validity on why they should be in the top four. But by losing to a South Carolina team that won two or three games all year, sorry.
Hey, let me just say this, too. I am glad Baylor and TCU is taken care of.
Yeah.
And we don't have to hear that crap again this year.
Exactly. So. I agree.
The music's playing. Runny is dancing. So it means it's time for a break.
Working up an appetite for my steak.
I hear you. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. The number 737-9505. Give us a call.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career, how to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio. Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Cullman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Cullman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey, that's some fine tunes.
That's
right
exactly
there.
Right. Now.
I like it.
I can deal with that.
Hey, Ronnie, give us a rundown of what you were just saying on the coaching situation and records there.
Again, Mark Rick and Les Miles, it's almost alarming as their record and their percentages, and yet Mark Rick is out and Les Miles was basically out, as you said earlier, if Jimbo wanted the job. Here's basically in a nutshell. Mark Rick has averaged almost 10 wins a season in his 15-year career at Georgia. He'd won 74% of his games. He also won two SEC championships at Georgia. However, it's been 10 years since he's won either one of those. But probably the bottom line, Jason, whether you're an Alabama fan or not, he has lost the last three games in a row to Saban, which included a 28-point blowout in October. So, yes, Mark Rick had a great career, won a lot of games at Georgia in 15 years. He just didn't win the right games at Georgia.
Right.
That's the bottom. You know, that's the bottom line. I would say this: if I was going to have to pick one of the, either he or Les Miles, that, you know, would be gone or deserve to be gone more than the other, I would have to pick Mark Rick over Les Miles.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Mark Rick is outstanding. Mark Rick may have another job right now or choices of jobs as we speak right now. His winning percentage is impressive, but he didn't win enough of the big games that he needed to win, and that starts with being able to beat Nick Saban. So, again, Mark Rick, 74% of his games over 15 years, two SEC championships, lost three in a row to Alabama. Les Miles, it's even more mind-boggling or mind-blowing. If I can find that quickly. Yeah, Les Miles, he has won 78% of his games at LSU. He's won a pair of SEC championships and a national title within the last 9 years. Two SEC championships, one national championship within 9 years, and at one point in time this season, they were sitting at number two in the country and had the number one recruiting class coming in.
And at the beginning of this season, it was looked at as LSU, this is not their year, they're a year
away.
That's
right, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, when they reel off a few victories, unreal expectations.
Yeah. They were never that good this year.
Right.
You know, he has not been able to develop that quarterback. Well, guess what? He had the number 59 ranked player in the country coming to LSU this year, a quarterback, and now what's he done?
Yeah.
He's pulled back, and I don't know whether he's coming or not. But as impressive as those numbers are, the bottom line is this: Nick Saban has beaten Les Miles the last 5 years.
Yep.
You could say Les Miles had won 90% of his games and had won two national titles, and they would have done the same thing if Saban had beat him 5 years in a row.
So the man with a plan. I sent him a message on Facebook, and we've got him now. Tally, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
What you doing now? What y'all doing, Jay?
We got a question for you. You're an old football official, so we got a football question. So.
If I can answer it, I'll sure answer it.
All right. Here's the deal, and I know you saw it. When Auburn kicked the ball off, Alabama player, let's just say he did touch the ball at the 2-3 yard line. All right, the ball goes into the end zone. The Alabama player picked it up, ran it out to like the 10-yard line. Auburn tackles him. Now, our question is, if he had been tackled in the end zone or had stepped out, why is that not a safety since the ball had been touched before it crossed the goal line?
But they didn't tackle him inside the end zone.
No, but what if they did tackle him? Vern and Gary Saturday were saying it was only a touchback and Alabama would get the ball on the 20.
No, no. If they'd tackle him on the end zone, it'd been safety. I think. Now, I don't have that. I'm not in that position to ever make that call.
Right.
I'm just the umpire, but now.
Yeah, they were saying because of possession, he never had possession of the ball. Even though he touched it, it would be a.
Before the guy picked the ball up and run it out.
Right. When the ball was kicked,
yeah.
Let's just say he touches it on the 2-yard line. The ball then rolls into the end zone, and the Alabama player picked it up and, of course, ran it out. But if he had been tackled in the end zone.
If he didn't pick it up, I don't know what that call would be in.
Or if he, let's say he took a knee in the end zone, what would it have been?
If he took a knee in the end zone, it'd probably been a touchback, wouldn't it?
Well, then, if he had got tackled, it would have been a touchback. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a touchback either way.
Probably is.
But the question is, Taddy, why, if the ball's touched, is it not a live ball and not a safety?
Now, if the ball was touched...
If the ball was touched
and Auburn got end zone, yes. That would have been a touchdown for Auburn, wouldn't it?
Right.
It is a confusing.
That's what all the other Auburn
situation.
Fans thought.
No.
Do what now?
I said it is a confusing call, and because of it being a touchback instead of a safety, I don't know, and we've not been able to find anybody that can explain it. Ronnie asked today, and a knowledgeable person, and they
still weren't very clear.
Yeah, they weren't able to explain it. So
I don't know either. I ain't ever in that position to make that call. I'm always up the field.
Do you know of anybody that we could ask that might know that?
Mark Hayes or Brandon Schultz would know, or Joe Pace would know.
I might see if I can get a message to Joe Pace and see if he can answer that question.
Yeah.
Tell us, I know you know this. What did you think about the game?
Well, I thought Auburn played a pretty good game the first half. But you know what? Let me ask you something. I talked to my old buddy 22 yesterday on the phone.
Oh, Lord.
Texting my old buddy 22. He was texting me while he was aggravating y'all last. You know, when he was aggravating you and Sheila yesterday on the phone, on the Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
He was like a dog. He was texting me, boy, he was just laughing. But what do you want to know now? What do you want to know about the game?
Just what your thoughts were. What surprised you? What didn't surprise you? What do you think about this weekend?
What? Are you talking about when Auburn went to field?
Yeah, Auburn, they wet the field. I think Auburn played on the same field Alabama played on. I'm not sure.
Hey,
but.
Hey, you know what? Auburn slid, too. You know it?
Yeah.
They all did. I don't know what was wrong. I was talking to Kerry Freeman because he was up here. We was watching the ball game again. We was wondering how come everybody was why that football field was so slippery.
Heavy dew.
Hey, and Ronnie, I have to hand it to my old radio partner here, Tally. He said it best when he said, it's Auburn's home field, whatever they want to do to the field before the game, you know, that's their call.
How many times, that's right, how many times, even in high school, you go into a gym that it's 200 degrees in there,
right.
Or how many times you go into a dressing room, it's about 30 degrees.
Right.
I mean, that's just playing at home, it's your call.
Well, didn't Coach Matt Bryant always wet the field down some?
I think so.
And, Tally, I mean, I know some Alabama fans are crying about it, even though they won the game, but they did have the chance to walk over the field before the game, and if they didn't have the right cleats on, hey, that's somebody's fault.
That's right.
At Alabama.
You're right. Well, let me ask you this quick, not trying to change subject, you know, but we're fixing to lose our defensive coordinator, you know.
Yeah.
Who are y'all going to get for a defensive coordinator?
What do you mean?
Well, they're gonna go after him at Alabama.
That ain't gonna happen, Tally.
Now let me ask you something, Jason. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
Not just because you're an Auburn fan and because I'm an Alabama fan. Just say you was neutral.
and the best coach in college football come to you knowing you have a chance to win national championships after national championships after national championships, and then you got another college coach that didn't do that good this year and don't know when they'll ever win another national championship, who are you going to go coach for?
Oh, if the best coach in college football came to me and asked me,
yeah.
Oh, you might have right, I would go to Ohio State.
That's what everybody's saying now. Okay, I went through Georgia this morning. I went through Florida this morning, this evening, today. And the sports talk was that thing's talking about.
No, Teddy, I would go, if I was Muschamp and had the chance to go to Alabama, yeah, I would go to Alabama and coach. But I don't think Alabama will offer that to Muschamp just because he's at Auburn.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would or not. Nick Saban's not that. Nick Saban's not like Stallings and all them. They not. He's gonna get. Hey, you think everybody in Alabama wanted to Lane Kiffin there?
No. What are you gonna do for an offensive coordinator?
You know what Nick Saban did? He said, I don't care if they like it or not. I'm getting him because he's good. That's the same way he's going to do y'all to his corner. They don't care.
Would you want to bet a state dinner on that? Yeah, Will Muschamp may leave Auburn, but it'll be for a head coaching job or an NFL job. It won't be for Alabama.
No, it won't. He'll go learn from the best.
Now, I do give you that Alabama would be a better job. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah. And he may leave. I mean, I'm saying he may take a head coaching job.
Yeah.
There's a lot of head coaching jobs out there.
Well, they said that on Georgia down there today, or Miami, Georgia, on that little sports topic, they said that Kiffin might go to Maryland.
Yeah, I've heard that. I heard that Muschamp, that South Carolina had interest in Muschamp. So
I don't understand that, though. I mean, why would anybody be interested in Muschamp as a head coach right now?
I wouldn't be.
No.
That's the reason I said he'll go to Alabama and get his name built back up.
Hey, Muschamp needs to learn to control his little temper.
He needs a little meds.
Yeah. Before he takes a head coaching job.
That's right.
You know what? Let me tell you something. You know that penalty that Auburn says that Alabama didn't deserve? I mean, that Auburn didn't deserve when he hit that boy and knocked that boy into the bleachers?
Let's say, yeah.
I throwed the flag before they ever throwed it. That's because
you're an Alabama fan, Teddy.
No, he kept driving him, Jason. He didn't let up. He kept driving him.
Hey, and Teddy, the ref that slipped didn't slip on the grass. If you'll look back at that, he was on the tarp when he fell.
You're right. I seen that. I thought he got hit 3 seconds.
Old number 22 is wanting him to sue Auburn and everything else.
I know. I seen that on Facebook last night.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, Tally, quickly, I'm sure you're thinking Alabama's going to beat Florida. Give us a score. What do you think the score will be that game?
10-32.
32-10, Bama over Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, not trying to change the city, but are you still interested in that building?
Yeah, it'll be after the first of the year, but I'm definitely interested.
Okay, well, our salesman asked me about that today.
All right. Yeah, I'll get with him after the new year.
All right, I'll give you a card.
All right, good deal, Tally.
Hey, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Tally. War Eagle.
See you later.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
All right, Greg Johnson, Greg Tally Johnson.
There you go.
I don't know where or how he picked that nickname up, but it stuck with
him. I bet there's a story behind
it. Oh, yeah. Hey, remind everybody before we go to a break, Ronnie, next week we're going to go to one day a week. We're getting old. Thursdays. Yeah, the season's slowing down.
Yeah.
But we'll still be here on Thursdays, have our regular guests and our regular shows. So.
Still have opportunities to pull over on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah. And, we'll still do our picks. People don't want to miss that.
No, we couldn't dare not be on Thursday.
5:35, time for a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive.
and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Oh, everybody missed the old Louie Louie.
Louie Louie.
I think that may be the first time ever. That
was that song in Animal House?
Lord, I don't know. I do know it.
That's a classic.
It's been played at Auburn several times after games. So.
Oh, really?
Hey, did you see, Ronnie, we're fixing to talk about the coaching carousel,
yeah.
But did you see where Cam Newton responded to Alabama fan? I don't know what the comment was.
No.
Oh, yeah, it could have got pretty ugly there. But, you know, in my thought,
somebody
we talked about today.
Stupid comment to him?
Yeah, just something about some money, I guess, you know, the deal with all that. But my deal is, if you're Cam Newton and you're making $20 million a year, why do you even respond back to that?
Yeah.
And he responds back with, I'll slap the S out of you. And,
well,
of course, he had guards around him and, you know, but.
Yeah.
You're $20 million, you're above that.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. You're exactly
right. Anyway.
Some things you just got to let go.
That's right.
You know, and that's from everybody, but why as a player would you even address that?
Yeah. And he's walking to the stadium there at Auburn and, you know, going to the game, and Alabama fan hollers at him, and he
just
takes the time.
It.
Right.
Just ignore it. Hey, talking about, you know, the coaching carousel, Jason, there are plenty of jobs out there for, you know, any of these guys who are currently head coaches or coordinators that may be, you know, looking to get a coaching job. Certainly Georgia is out there.
Hey, when you call those out, Ronnie, give me, if you've got one, a thought of who you think might be a fit, and I'll throw one out if I've got one. If not, we'll
some of these I'm not going to have a clue about because I don't know anything about the school per se. Georgia, the first one comes to my mind there is Kirby Smart, just because that's what that seems to be what you hear. You know, he played there, so I would throw out.
Really the only name being mentioned
That's right. And I can't imagine him turning it down and staying in Tuscaloosa. You know, if Kirby's going to leave Tuscaloosa, you only get so many opportunities, I think, you know, for a good job. And that's a top tier program right there to have. So Georgia is open. Maryland, the only name name that I hear thrown around is Lane Kiffin's name. May not be any validity whatsoever in that, but I've heard that name, you know, thrown around as well. University of Memphis, I have no idea. You know, their coach there, Justin, I don't even know how you pronounce his last name, but he was hired at Virginia Tech. Young guy, I think he's 39 years old. Has done a phenomenal job at Memphis. You know, if you watch Memphis play Ole Miss earlier, they spanked them.
Right.
So Memphis job is open. Miami job, University of Miami, the name I'm probably everybody in the world is hearing, potentially there is Mark Richt. Also, I think they interviewed Dan Mullen.
Now that brings me to the question. If you're Dan Mullen, why would you want to go to Miami in that fiasco when you've got a steady job?
Yeah. And he's done a
calm job.
He's done a good job the last few years, you know, at Mississippi State.
When you go to Miami, you might well get ready to deal with some drugs, some strippers.
Oh, it's a different world, question, than Starkville, Mississippi.
And learn Spanish.
That's right. That one shocked me, too. Now, you know, maybe he's maybe behind the scenes he's getting a little bit of heat because Ole Miss has thrashed him 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I don't know what to
read
into that.
And Dak is gone.
That's right.
And that's going to be a huge
difference.
That's
exactly right, because he's all they had this year. And he was good. Missouri, that job is open. I have no clue.
No.
The North Texas
really
job.
Don't care.
Don't care. North Texas is open. Rutgers is open. South Carolina is open. I'd be certainly, just because it's in the SEC, be interested to see, you know, what they do with that. I heard Will Muschamp's name thrown around. May not be any validity whatsoever to that, but heard his name tossed around. Syracuse, his job is open. Toledo job is open because their head coach took the Iowa State job. Tulane is open, Louisiana Monroe, and University of Virginia is open. A couple of jobs have been filled. Helton, who was he took over for Sarkisian. He was hired as the full-time coach. He was an interim there as an interim basis, and I think he only lost two games. So he was hired at USC, and you were saying he was a backup to Stan White at Auburn.
I had never heard anything about it.
I never heard that till you just said it. Oregon's offensive coordinator, I think his name is Scott Frost, was hired at Central Florida. And then the head coach at Memphis, Justin, his spelling of that's F-U-E-N-T-E, Funette, was hired to replace Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech. So those are just some of the college jobs that are open, still available, you know, right now. And that's a bunch of them. So I think Alabama will be losing Kirby Smart for certain and may lose, you know, Lane Kiffin as well. Even heard Mario Cristobal's name mentioned at Miami. He is the offensive line coach at Alabama.
And have you heard that if, or more than likely when, Kirby Smart leaves, that his replacement could be Jeremy Pruitt?
Didn't he? I have not heard that.
Now, you talking about, they were talking about on Jots when I was on the way over here. You talking about a guy that has made a trip up in a hurry.
Man.
Really for, I mean,
10 years, less than 10 years ago, he was coaching high school football.
And I mean, he's done a good job, but a great job, Kirby Smart job,
no. You know, he went to
that just shows you.
Yeah, you know, he was at Alabama as secondary coach, and then he went to Florida State for 1 year as defensive coordinator, and then he was this past year he was at Georgia at defensive coordinator.
And tell me how spectacular any of those defenses were.
They weren't per se. However, and I think we both agree, whoever comes to be the, quote, defensive coordinator at Alabama, it's entitled. I'm wrong. I'm going to say Kirby Smart probably had a lot more freedom and a lot more reign over the defense as time went on than whoever Saban hires.
But you take an average coach, defensive coach, put him at Alabama under Saban, and he's going to be successful.
They're going to be good. I mean, just because of the sheer talent that they get. You know, it's not hard to coach.
I think I can coach defense at Alabama.
Yeah, that's right. So, but those are some of the jobs that are open, and some of them that have been filled. So, lots of college football jobs open. So, hey, Jason, let's move quick. Let's talk just for a couple minutes. Those who may be interested in the NFL, I have you one trivia question.
Oh, baby. NFL. You know what I'm going to say? Who is the only undefeated team?
That was going to be my question. The only undefeated team left in the NFL.
Let me answer it anyway.
All right, answer it anyway.
It'd be one team the Carolina Panthers under the direction of Cam Newton.
There you go. So there's one NFL team, as Jason just said, that it still has not lost a game. That's Carolina Panthers. They are 11-0. They beat the Cowboys last week 33-14.
And, Ronnie, this is a Panther team that...
Not a great Panther team by any stretch.
They came out of nowhere, and they have went from squeaking by to now they're actually soundly beating some teams.
Do you think they have a Chinaman chance to win the Super Bowl?
Not really, but I didn't really expect them to be 11-0.
I didn't either. And they may run the table.
I don't know. On a given night, though, I don't know of any of them they can't beat.
Right. That's the thing about NFL. I mean, you know, anybody can beat anybody. But they are the only undefeated team now at 11-0. Detroit, on a roll, they won four games in a row. They started off 0-7. They won four in a row. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles 45-14.
Did you watch the game last night?
No, I didn't watch any of it. How about that? That was the Browns and the Ravens.
And Johnny Football, third-string quarterback, and he's over there wrapped up in his little coat.
I'm sure he did not step on the field.
No.
To play.
And the starting quarterback, what's his name?
Was it McCown?
McCowan or
something. McCowan.
Yeah, he went down, broke collarbone.
Yeah.
So he's out. Johnny Football still don't go on the field. You know, if you're the Cleveland Browns owner, you've got to ask yourself, is it worth it to pay this guy millions of dollars?
So do you keep him and hope that he can become your franchise quarterback, or do you cut your losses and move him on?
I think it cut your losses at this point.
So. Yeah. The Bears and the Packers, big win for the Bears. They beat the Packers 17-13. The Vikings, good football team, beat the Falcons, who are a bad football team, 20-10. Raiders beat the Titans 24-21. The Chiefs beat the Bills 30-22. The Colts beat the Buccaneers. I'm sure you're glad to hear that, 25-12. Buccaneers have won five games. That's more than one last year. Redskins beat the Giants 2014. Texans beat the Saints. Boy, they've fallen on hard times.
Oh, man.
Saints
are bad. Fell off the map.
Yeah, they're 4-7. They're not good. The Bengals won again, beat the Rams 31-7. The Chargers beat the Jaguars 31-25. Jets over the Dolphins 38-20. Cardinals over the 49ers 19-13. Steelers lost to the Seahawks 39-30. Ben Roethlisberger's out again, maybe concussion issues. Broncos defeated the Patriots. That was the Patriots' first loss of the year.
Under the direction of someone not...
Other than Peyton.
Right.
Peyton, that's exactly right.
And I think Peyton may have found his place.
I do, too. I think I don't think you'll see... I may be wrong. Oswalder.
Yeah, he came
from Arizona
in and
State.
Won the game and then
last
started
week.
This week
that's right.
And won. And so, people are ready for a change.
They are. And, Peyton has had a... phenomenal career.
Oh, yeah.
As good as any that's ever played it. Maybe better. As good as any, better than most that's ever played quarterback. Not saying he still couldn't play and get another year or so out of his body, but is it worth it?
No.
You know, your health after the game is so much more important. And money is no issue. He can never spend the money he's got. So.
And if he wants to stay in football, I'm sure there will be all kind of coaching opportunities.
Oh, don't you know?
Yeah.
College, too.
Oh,
college
yeah.
and NFL.
Yeah.
My biggest fear, and somebody else, you may have been you that said, is he comes to Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a bad combination, I think.
That could very well work out time-wise with Tennessee if things don't improve. So.
That's right. You know, Butch Jones is doing an okay job. He just can't get over the hump and win those that he's winning games. He's just kind of like Rick now. He's not winning the ones that he's got to win to keep his job. So,
man, think about it. Not many teams in the SEC are over the hump except Alabama.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot sitting there on the hump.
That's right.
Getting over the hump.
It's a whole different ballgame. And once you get over on it is to be able to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot can get there, but staying there is so much more difficult.
Music's playing. One last break, and we're doing our last Tuesday show.
What about Alabama basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Has Avery Johnson got those guys going, or
this
what?
This is a team that you told me set
basketball
back
wouldn't win 10 games
to caveman years.
Absolutely.
And now they're tearing it up.
Yeah, we'll talk a little about it.
All right, we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. The 92-year-old nun who moved to Alabama in 1981 and helped found the Eternal Word Television Network is in declining health. Mother Mary Angelica has never fully recovered from a cerebral hemorrhage she suffered in 2001. Aides now say she's been fitted with a feeding tube because of her worsening condition. Bobby Hernandez has pleaded not guilty to charges of kidnapping his 5-year-old son from Vestavia Hills in 2002 and taking him to Ohio. He was arrested in early November after his now 18-year-old son discovered his real identity during the college application process. Little Vegas is what Mobile police called yesterday's raid on 5 bars and 4 residences that led to the seizure of several gambling machines. Authorities say weeks of investigation, including surveillance, undercover operations, and confidential informants, set up the operation. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Utility rates for many Alabamians are about to go down. The State Public Service Commission has unanimously approved a measure that reduces by $120 million the amount Alabama power customers will pay over the next year. The reductions are based on lower production costs. Alagasco's increased operating efficiencies and lower natural gas prices will result in a $22.9 million reduction in those rates. 3 men accused of running a prostitution ring that included women living in a country illegally have been indicted. The men are accused of running a Montgomery-based prostitution ring. Authorities accuse one man of bringing a woman in from Georgia to work in an apartment that was used as a brothel. Another is accused of supervising the brothel, and the third reportedly picked up the money. Alabama state troopers investigated 7 fatal traffic crashes that killed 9 people during the Thanksgiving holiday. Alcohol was a factor in at least one of those crashes. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In money news, U.S. stocks moved solidly higher today, spurred by improving economic data from Japan and Europe, as well as hopes that the European Central Bank will expand its stimulus program. However, trading remained quiet ahead of the release later this week of the National Unemployment Report for November. The House and Senate have reached agreement on a 5-year, $281 billion transportation bill that would increase spending to address the nation's aging and congested highways and transit systems. The bill would put an end to the cycle of temporary extensions and threatened shutdowns of transportation programs that have hampered the industry for the past 7 years, making it difficult for states to plan long-term projects. U.S. factory activity plummeted last month to the lowest level in more than 6 years, with a stronger dollar and low oil prices cutting new orders and hurting production. The index of factory activity dropped below the critical level for the first time since November 2012. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
Great balls of fire.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Lord have mercy.
Talk about great balls of fire. Alabama basketball is on fire. How about that lead in?
And where did that come from, Ron?
Yeah, proves I know nothing about basketball. Because I said they wouldn't. They were awful and they wouldn't win 10 games. And that might still hold true. However, they are sitting there right now. They're 4-2.
And pulled off 2 big wins.
Huge wins, yeah. They beat Wichita State, which, you know, that's who Alabama wanted for their head coach, you know. And so they beat them. Wichita State was ranked 20th. They beat them 64-60. And then the other night they beat Notre Dame, who was ranked 17. They beat them 74-73. So Bama's sitting there at 4-2 right now, finished 5th place in the tournament that they were just in. Play Friday night at Southern Miss. So that's the next game they'll be playing. But as I mentioned there, kind of while we're on break, that is the first ranked opponent that Alabama has beaten since 2009. And then they've beaten two, you know, the last two opponents they play.
You would think
you would
accidentally beat somebody in
2009 since they have beaten a ranked opponent. I'm not talking about a top 10. I'm talking about a ranked opponent, top 25. So that kind of tells you where Alabama basketball has been. But two huge wins for Avery Johnson and for the Crimson Tide.
Boy, this weekend, Ronnie, going to be championship weekend.
It is.
Footballs will be flying everywhere. Of course, around here, the only interest will be over in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
You
going?
SEC championship.
You going?
You know I will be there with my Crimson Tide attire.
I heard you paid, you know, about $1,000 a seat just to get in.
It's worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
Anything I can do to support the Tide.
There you go.
Have you got a rundown of those games, or do I need to look those up?
You need to look them up. I don't have them.
What you got while I'm doing
what I've got right now, we mentioned earlier a little bit about some college basketball, Jason. Here's college hoops on tonight if you want to watch it. Michigan at North Carolina State, ESPN2 at 6 o'clock. Richmond at Florida on the SEC Network also at 6. Virginia at Ohio State, ESPN 6:30. Purdue at Pittsburgh, ESPN2, 8 o'clock. Arkansas State at Missouri, that's on the SEC Network at 8. And then the one, Jason, you were talking about, Maryland, I think you said ranked number 2, at North Carolina, that's on ESPN at 8:30 tonight. So those are the college basketball games that are on this week.
Right, coming up this weekend, the Conference USA Championship, and not going to ask you for anything in depth, Ronnie, just give me a real quick winner of these games, and we'll do our real picks.
Okay.
You can even change it before Thursday.
All right. So,
Conference USA Championship, Southern Miss, Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky is a 7.5-point favorite.
Okay.
The American Athletic Championship, Temple and Houston.
Houston.
Houston's a 7-point favorite. The Pac-12, USC and Stanford.
I'm taking Stanford.
Stanford, 4.5-point favorite.
There you go.
SEC Championship, Florida and Alabama. Alabama, -17.5.
17.5. Wow. That's got to be the largest one.
Oh, yeah, it is, and it's going to be ugly.
You think it will?
Oh, yeah. I think Alabama wins it by 20.
You think it'll be worse than the Auburn game?
Yeah.
I hope it is.
Like somebody said, Florida can't score.
No. They have a lot of people hurt. They're extremely thin. Thankfully for Florida, they were in the SEC East.
ACC Championship, North Carolina and Clemson.
I'm going to go Clemson.
I'm going North Carolina on that one.
Oh. What's the line?
Clemson -5.
Clemson -5.
Big Ten, Michigan State and Iowa.
Michigan State.
I agree. The rest of these, who cares?
Yeah, they're insignificant, right? Hey, Jason, we got a couple of minutes left. Flipping back to NCAA basketball, I'll give you the top 10. That's an AP poll right now. At number 10 is Virginia. Number 9, North Carolina, who they were number one at one time. Villanova is 8. Duke, 7. Oklahoma, 6. Iowa State, 5. Kansas, 4. Michigan State, 3. Maryland, 2. And not surprising, Kentucky is ranked number 1.
Every year.
I tell you what, Calipari has it going on.
He reloads every year.
One more stat, and I know we got to go. I read this earlier. If Kentucky wins their next game, they will start the season at 7-0. The University of Kentucky has started 7-0 25 years. Not in a row, but a total of 25 years they've started at 7-0.
And that's the reason they don't play football in Kentucky.
That's right. They're not playing it now because they didn't win but 5 games.
All right. Time to say goodbye. We'll be back Thursday again next week. Going to one show per week. Be on Thursdays from 4 to 6. So be sure to join us for that. Until Thursday, let me leave you with a something. War Eagle.
Well, boy, that had a lot of heart in it. How about a big old Roll Tide, baby?
Be safe, folks. Join us Thursday for Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman's only sports talk radio.
broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.